In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
O God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good afternoon. I cannot compete with the eloquence of Fulton Sheen, come on. But I do love him. I listened to hundreds of hours of his talks, who I really admire very much. And I met him in person. What a blessing, no? Yes, I'm betraying my age, huh? Yeah. I met him in person. What a blessing. So, given that it's 1:45 in the afternoon, maybe I should tell you a Fulton Sheen joke so that you won't fall asleep during the midst of my talk. Okay, it's a story of three drunks in New York City on the mezzanine, and they didn't have enough money to pay for a room that night. So the hotel floor was on the 50th story. So the owner was in a good mood and he said that he would give them a free night so we could sleep in the same room together. So as they're climbing up the stairs because the elevator was not working, the ringleader said, okay, I'll start off by telling jokes for 15 stories. And after he finished, he told the other one to tell amusing stories for the next 15. So another 20 stories to go, floors to go, and they told their friend, okay, tell a story. And he said, well, I'm a pessimist. I've always been a pessimist. Well, tell a pessimist's story. So they're climbing and climbing and climbing. He doesn't say anything. They finally reach the 50th story. He says, you want to know my story? Yes. I forgot the key to the room. Oh. Okay, I got you laughing so you won't be able to fall asleep during my talk, huh? Get your blood flowing, huh? From the stomach to mind, right? Right, I'm giving you a catechesis on prayer as we kick off. So let me give you another form of prayer that St. Ignatius suggests. And he says to take a formal prayer that you pray very often, like the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the glory be, and to take one word at a time and to relish that prayer. You could even spend, maybe when you go home this evening, maybe you can practice that. Give yourself a good time taking one of the prayers, but you're going to be saying the words slowly and you're going to be relishing those words. Okay, you're looking at me kind of shocked because you never heard that before, but that's the type of prayer that St. Ignatius actually has in his textbook. Okay, you're still looking at me with somewhat of a cynical, skeptical, jaundiced eye, okay? So I'll start it off with you. I just started off, and then when you go home, you can try to fill in the gaps. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, good. Don't fall asleep yet, okay? Okay, good. Some of you are closing your eyes. I have to tell another joke, okay? Okay. Okay, take the word, okay, Our Father. Okay, take Our Father and describe, give the virtues, the attributes, the characteristics of your Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, well, is it kind Father, bountiful Father, generous Father, merciful Father, loving Father, patient Father, bountiful Father. So all these descriptive words that you know, you apply that to God the Father. And then after Father, you move on to another word. I think that if you try to do that, this is going to really enrich your prayer life. See, I'm trying to open up the horizon to the infinite treasure trove of prayers that we have. We tend to be, as my father would say, a local yokel. Okay? That's a New York expression, a local yokel. Being somewhat provincial, in which we limit our prayer to one way, but there are so many different ways that we can pray. Let's open our minds, our hearts, to the different forms of prayer that we can exercise. So I've taught you another one. You take the Our Father, and I've just given you one word, Father, and I've given you about 10 descriptive words. And what's going to happen is that you're going to start to imitate God the Father by that prayer. It's going to be you that are allow yourself to be transformed by talking to God, because we become like the person we love. And we love God the Father, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we move into another meditation. And I'm going to be giving you from Genesis 3 to Genesis chapter 4. And this is the Ignatian triple sin. It's the third sin. So I'll give Ignatius's presentation, and I'll hook it up with Genesis chapter 4. And if you've done the spiritual exercises, you remember the triple sin. The third sin is this, that there's an individual that committed a mortal sin, one mortal sin, and he died right after committing that one mortal sin without repenting. And that person loses his soul. It's a very sober, very serious meditation, but if it's done well, the fruits of this meditation are enormous. If it's done well, if you take this seriously. It moves us from, I would call it an earthquake. We just had yesterday, right? It's in one of those earthquake meditations. If it's done well, it really shakes us. From our lethargy, our tepidity, our lukewarmness, it shakes us into the reality that the stakes are very high. You know, the stakes are very high. You know, the salvation of our soul or the loss of our soul. So let's flesh this out. How many of you have ever been on the freeway here in California or New York or anywhere else? And you're driving and you almost got into a fatal car accident. Did that ever happen? It happened? Okay, rewind the film of your life now. And maybe that happened 30 years ago. And you're driving, and it was just a matter of a split second, you would have been killed. You'd have run head on into a Mack truck. And you would not have had enough time to repent. Because that would have happened in a tenth of a second. Go back 30 years ago. Were you in the state of grace when that happened?
No, but
almost all of you are wagging your heads, huh? Where would you be now? Hello?
Yeah.
But look, you're here now. How good God is. How good God is. This is the Ignatian meditation. They call it the earthquake. If it's done well. If you take these meditations seriously, they'll convert you. But if you're just floating through them, just because you want to be entertained or whatever, not too much is going to happen. So the efficacy of the exercise depends upon you. I'm trying to motivate you, but it depends on you, your heart's disposition. So if people hear this the first time, they're almost in shock. There's a certain repugnance to it. Because our thought is, well, God is so merciful, then He's going to give me 100 chances, maybe 500, maybe 1,000. He'll give me 10,000. I mean, He could, and in our case, maybe He did. Yeah. But He's not obliged to do that. God doesn't have to give us 1,000 chances, or 500, or 100, or 50, or even 2. He's not obliged to. You know what this elicits? It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I don't think anyone understands this. It's called fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thomas Aquinas says it's the first in operation, the first one that should be operative in our souls. And it's very much related to humility and not to trust in ourselves, that we're very weak, that we could fall into serious sin at the drop of a hat, any time and place. So we should walk humbly before the face of God all the days of our lives. This creates within us a real disposition of humility in which we're not relying upon ourselves, but we are relying upon God. I like to think of it this way in my life. I'm walking through this difficult life. One hand I'm holding onto Jesus, another hand I'm holding onto Mary, and Saint Joseph is leading me, and my guardian angel is behind me. That's my image. Because obviously we as priests have many more temptations than you people, no? Many more than you. You went through the day of which the temptation to preach, you'd probably all have a heart attack. You would. You probably wouldn't get out of your bed the following day, no? Really? So I'm saying this in all honesty. I want to take every step hand in hand with Jesus and Mary, St. Joseph leading the way, and my guardian angel behind me. So I'm protected by God Himself, His Heavenly Mother, good Saint Joseph, and my guardian angel. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so there's the There's the third the sin of the triple sin. So I'll give you, I'm going to give you Genesis chapter 4, a summary and an explanation. Genesis chapter 4 is right away you see the sin of Adam and Eve, and I talked about the repercussions of sin. I talked about original sin is a moral tsunami that has repercussions until the end of time. I talked about the image of myself taking a stone and throwing it up and kerplunk. It plunges itself into the middle of the pond, thereby radiating these concentric circles that radiate to the shore. That's what original sin is. And it influences us. So, you've done Genesis 1, 2, 3. Now we'll move on to Genesis chapter 4. And it's the sin of Cain against Abel. Read through it. You're familiar with it, but go back and read it, and you're probably going to get certain insights you've never had before. Adam and Eve have committed the original sin. They've hidden from God. God has meted out the chastisement upon the woman, bringing forth children in suffering, the man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, the serpent to crawl and eat dust, and the reality of death coming into the world, as well as the other things I mentioned earlier. So Cain and Abel, they offer up sacrifices to God. God accepts the sacrifice of Abel, but he doesn't accept the sacrifice of Cain. You've read this 100 times. Ask yourselves why, and maybe we've got the dynamic of Cain and Abel within us. Maybe you have children, and there's a Cain and Abel complex in your own family with your children or grandchildren. Probably is, if you meditate upon it. See, what I'm trying to do is connect the Word of God to your life. It's not simply something that was written many, many years ago, but the story of Adam and Eve, that's my story. Story of David and Bathsheba, that's my story. The story of Cain and Abel, that's my story, that's your story, and the Holy Spirit can help to make that connection. If you want, if you're courageous enough to allow the Word of God, which is like a two-edged sword that separates what? Bone from marrow, the Bible says. No? The Word of God is powerful. If we allow it to work, it will transform our lives. They both offered up sacrifices to God. God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, but he did not accept the sacrifice of Cain. And I'll give you the classical interpretation. It was basically due to lack of purity of intention. Abel had a very noble heart, a very pure heart, a very innocent heart, a very transparent heart. And he gave God that sacrifice with the most noble of intentions, whereas Cain did not. What about us when we're offering to God our sacrifices? Do we have more Cain or more Abel? Maybe our name is Cain-Abel. maybe we belong to the Cain-Abel Club, huh? Let's see if we can decapitate the Cain and stick with the Abel. What do you think? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hone in on what probably Father Victor is going to explain in greater detail in another day or two. But I feel it's a perennial problem, and it's the reality of envy. Envy and jealousy. Hey, I think I think we've all suffered from envy and jealousy in our lives, right? I know I have. Yeah. I think we've all suffered from that during the course of our life. Sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. How did sin enter the world? Through the envy of the devil. Yeah. Right? You read in the Old Testament. Sin entered the world through the envy of the devil. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because of envy. Now, there's a slight distinction between jealousy and envy. I've taught this over the years. Jealousy is I feel bad because someone has something that I don't have and that causes me sadness. Whereas envy is a little bit worse. Envy is this. I feel bad because someone has something that I don't have. And when something bad happens to that person, I rejoice. You hear me? So envy is worse. Jealousy is bad, but envy is worse. I relish in the bad fortune of the other person. Okay, you're working in a place for 25 years. A young girl comes in, she's 22, 23. Within 6 months, she's making the same money that you are. You've been there for 25 years. But every day for a week, she comes a little bit late and the boss fires her and you say, yeah. That's envy. And very common. More common than you're aware of. So check yourselves if you've been dominated by that in the past. And you go through sacred scripture, you've got countless examples. Okay, you're going through the book of Genesis. Once you hit Genesis chapter 38, 39, we'll enter into what are called the Joseph stories. What happened to Joseph? Hello? He was taken and he was sold as a slave. Why? Jealousy and envy of his brothers, right? How about Saul and David? Do you remember the story of Saul and David? What happened there? David was there. Saul lifted up his javelin and he launched the javelin. And it almost killed David. Why did Jesus die? Because of the envy and jealousy of the Pharisees, the high priests. How are we going to overcome this? You have to name it and claim it and tame it. Amen? Name it, claim it, and tame it. You got to name it, the fact that we have it, admit it. Claim it by the blood of the cross. Tame it by sacramental confession, if we've given into it. Yep. Name it and claim it and tame it. Okay, I'd like to tell you a story in the life of a saint who is one of the patron saints of the Oblates. I think some Oblates may not even be aware of it. He's the patron saint of the theologians. You know who he is?
No.
Saint John Berkmans. You ever hear of him? No, Father. St. John Berkmans is a saint that you never heard of, but now you've heard of him. He was a seminarian theologian among the Jesuits. And this is how he can teach us how to overcome envy and jealousy. He lived in a community with other brothers and priests. And what he did was he was on the way to becoming a priest, but he died before he was ordained. So he died in his early 20s, St. John Berkman. And he wrote down a list of the brothers in his community, brothers and priests, the whole list. And this is what he did. Father Tom, a great preacher, thanks be to God. Father Bill, a great confessor, thanks be to God. Father Andrew, excellent in working with the poor, thanks be to God. Father Charles, an excellent writer. Father Luke, excellent teacher of the teenagers. Brother Fulgentius, a great cook. Brother Casey, a great sense of humor. So he wrote down all of the members in his community, and each one he thanked and praised God for all their talents and gifts. Let me ask you a question. Of that list of brothers and priests, which is the only one that is canonized? The only one who didn't write his own name on that list, and that was St. John Berkman. Maybe you can start to do that in your family. Try it. Write down the list. And thanksgiving for your husband and your daughter and your daughter and your son. A litany of thanksgiving, praising God for those gifts. If you live that out, you're going to be able to crush the ugly devil of jealousy and envy. They can creep up and suffocate your spiritual life. So, we no longer belong to the Canable Club. We no longer belong to the Canable Club. We belong to the Able Club. I would like to enable all of you to enter into the Able Club. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So that's your meditation. You're going to take the third sin of someone who's lost because of one serious sin, and you can connect that with Genesis chapter 4, which is the sin of Cain killing Abel. And beg for the grace, not simply to read it as some nice literature, something that happened thousands of years ago. Allow the Word of God to penetrate your mind, your heart, your emotions, and your whole life. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, I have to ask you a great favor, okay? Tomorrow I have a very important phone call at 2:00. So if I could meet you at 1:30 tomorrow, could I do that?
Yes.
A very important phone call and have to be there. So just tomorrow we could start about 15 minutes early, okay?
Sure.
So thank you for accommodating me. Thank you.